there is somebody going through our stuff.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Harry caught him this morning.
But they just came and got the trash, didn't they?
They're like slow.
Somebody went through our stuff at 5 o'clock.
They're not too bright.
I guess not. They haven't figured out
where we shred them. Everything.
I'd rather have them go through the cans than go through our car.
So,
I don't
know. Maybe they're looking for stuff to sell.
Romans 11. Yesterday we studied, well, the verse 3 and 4 about what Elijah's response to the prophets and then being chased and all that. So verse 5, even so then at this present time also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. Now, this is a hard concept to conceive of. It's either all grace or no grace. It's either all faith or no faith. It's either all trust or no trust. Because everything is about environment. Everything is about location of sphere. So it's either all in him or none in him. It can't be in both. What you're doing it, Mr. Tom. You've taken over the ministry of Gary.
No, I was thinking about all or none.
I was thinking about the proper life.
The Christians fight so, or many of them do, about the whole Darwinian evolution, etc., and yet they believe so strongly in evolution spiritually. And you really think, you know, no matter how much you protest it, you think you're going to get better over time. And it's just not going to happen. It's either all or nothing at every moment. My experience has been that over time, the only thing I've found out is I was worse than I thought I was at first. And that's, you know, that can be a cliche to say that, just, you know, it's like to get a response, but it's really true. What? Are you agreeing?
I'm agreeing.
Okay.
No, I'm not about you. That's my experience. Worse now than I ever was.
No, you're not worse than you ever were. You are. You see yourself more clearly. It's not. But everything in us is geared toward this. I thinking that we're getting better. And then getting upset if it's just, I don't know what it is, except it's part of the curse. It's part of the great deception. Anyway, what then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear, even unto this day. Now let's go and see where that's from. Let's go to Isaiah 29. We studied this not too long ago, but in verse 8 it says, It shall even be as when a hungry man dreameth, and behold, he eateth, but he awakeneth, and his soul is empty. Or when a thirsty man dreameth, and behold, he drinketh, but he awakeneth, and behold, he is faint, and his soul hath appetite. So shall a multitude of all the nations, or all the people, be that fight against Mount Zion. Stay yourselves, and wonder, cry you out, and cry. They are drunken, but not with wine. They stagger, but not with strong drink. For the Lord hath poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep, and hath closed your eyes. The prophets and your rulers, the seers, has he covered. And the vision is all of all has become unto you as the words of a book that is sealed, etc., etc. This isn't optional. No matter how hard the human race tries, this spirit of slumber is upon them. I mean, it's the nature of the beast. The only way out of this is death. Otherwise, you will... Let's go to Isaiah 5. I just thought of something else. Buddy at 5, starting verse 8. Woe unto them that join house to house, that lay field to field, till there be no place, that they may be placed alone in the midst of the earth. In mine ears, saith the Lord of hosts, of a truth, many houses shall be desolate, even the great and fair, without inhabitant. Yea, 10 acres of vineyard shall yield one bath, and the seed of a omer shall be yield an epoth. I mean, it's, in other words, it's all big, but it only gets a little bit. And the harp and the viol, the tabret and the pipe and wine are in their feasts, but they regard not the work of the Lord, neither consider the operation of his hands. Oh, woe unto them. Oh, I'm sorry. Woe unto them that rise up. Oh, I know why I skipped it up. Yeah. Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they say that they may follow strong drink, that continue until night, till wine inflame them. And the harp and the viol, the tabret and the pipe and wine are in their feasts, but they regard not the work of the Lord, neither consider the operation of his hands. Therefore, my people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge. And their honorable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst. Therefore, hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure. And their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoiceth shall descend into it. And the mean man shall be brought down. Huh? What? I didn't hear what. Oh. Do you know what a mean man means here?
It's a mean thing to say.
Yeah. Do you know what
mean is worthless.
Small,
inconsequential.
Yeah.
Like Kevin.
Touché.
Actually, what it really means is those that don't speak. No, it doesn't. I'm just kidding. And the mean man shall be brought down, and the mighty man shall be humbled, and the eyes of the lofty shall be humbled. But the Lord of hosts shall be exalted in judgment, and God that is holy shall be sanctified in righteousness. Then shall the lambs feed after their manner, and the waste places of the fat ones, and shall strangers eat. Woe unto them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity, and sin, as it were, with a cart rope. They say, let him make speed and hasten his work that we may see it, and let the counsel of the Holy One of Israel draw nigh that we may know it. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine and men of strength to mingle strong drink, which justify the wicked for reward and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. Therefore, as the fire devoureth the stubble and the flame consumeth the chaff, so their root shall be as rottenness, and their blossom shall go up as dust, because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. Now, there's two things. One is, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. Can you see how automatically we do that? Because the eyes are closed. We don't see as he sees. We see as we see until our eyes are opened. We call darkness light. And we call light darkness. We call evil good. I even hear it in the cliches. You've heard me talk many times about this thing about blessed. Oh, God is blessing me. He's blessing them because, really, they're saying God is blessing them because he's being made acceptable to the one who has the right of first kinship. Oh, he's blessing them because a contract went through. Or, oh, he's blessing them because, and they're in doing so, they're calling evil good and good evil. Now, the question is, I don't care what they do, the question is, are you calling good evil and evil good? I promise you, if you remember the statement of Christ, he said, better get it right, Luke somewhere.
Yeah, that's why it's good to read Job once a year anyway.
Yeah.
Because that takes a whole thing apart.
You are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. If what you esteem, or if what you call good, or if what you call blessed, is the same thing everybody else is calling good or blessed, then you know you're calling evil good and good evil. And this is really critical. This causes at every juncture, it causes your mind to be challenged by what it normally thinks. This is one of the primary vehicles by which your mind is renewed. Do you understand what I'm saying? Call no man good. But stop, just hear these words. You are they that justify yourselves among men, but God knoweth your hearts. For those things which are highly esteemed among men are abomination unto God. That's the implications of that are so massive how do you value what happens in your day? Now, it doesn't mean you do the opposite. You know, okay, well, I'm going to go do what I don't esteem or something. It means you just be, but the process is about the renewal of your mind. That's why the 450 prophets of Baal yesterday, we talked about that Elijah challenged. Those are the same prophets that are in your Jerusalem up here, not now is. And every one of them is calling evil good and good evil. So your counselors, your Sanhedrin, and the upper and lower Sanhedrin of the Sanhedrins, they're programmed to call evil good and good evil. Because he's poured out upon the human race the spirit of slumber, and you're drunk with the wine of self-seeking. That's why Paul said, whatsoever things are gained to me are lost to Christ. Any kind, anything, esteem. What?
Well, I mean, just it's true, it's right. I mean, you esteem the things of this world rather than the things above. I mean,
let's go to 2 Corinthians 4.
Sitting on a couch eating ice cream, watching TV seems good, and being forced to get up and exert yourself seems bad to the flesh.
2 Corinthians chapter 3, starting 3, I think. Well, that's just starting 12. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech. And not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their hearts. Now, who's the they? It sounds like you're just only talking about the Jews. It's talking about the human race. The only escape from it is, well, first of all, the only vehicle of escape is coming to the total end of all value systems. As we said, or as Harry said, I guess, that's why, or John said, that's why we must read and understand the book of Ecclesiastes. Vanity of vanities, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. And the vanity there means futile, empty, without purpose, corruptible. So this whole walk we're on, in one sense, is really the walk that, so that we can be delivered from calling good evil and evil good. But let's go on here. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. You turn to the Lord. You remember, that's what really repentance is, but not the repentance of the world, which is, oh, I'm sorry I did that, I'll try to do better. The repentance of leaving all of you behind. Now, the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. And this is the transference. This is the thing that happens that when you accept your death, that you stop looking at everything and seeing a reflection of you, i.e., what does this mean to me? And instead, whatever, wherever you look into his glorious face as in a glass. The glass, the same glass that now, instead of seeing what this means to you, you see only his glorious liberty. And you live in that law of liberty. And this is hard. It's hard to understand this until that first thing is broken until you finally see through instead of see at. And then you can't, but in many ways, once you, when you leave the mercy seat and go back to, over to the, for some small reason, well then, it's like the silver nitrate is put back on the glass. It starts to build back up, so pretty soon all you can see is yourself again. What does this mean to me? Oh, poor me. Oh, I'm depressed. Oh, I'm this. Oh, I'm that. That's why, again, repentance is the, and it's constant, it's continuous. Every time you take a stand about something, it must be repented of. Otherwise, the silver will come back because you're trying to redeem yourself, so the silver comes back up on the glass and you see yourself again. And it goes over and over and over and over. Every time you're sick and you're tempted to look, oh, what is it? You see yourself, then pretty soon the silver comes growing back up. Every time something happens to you, every time you get sued, every time, whatever. If you put your eyes on yourself, then slowly the silver starts building back up. And the only solution, the only act that has any merit is repentance. I promise you, if you're ever upset at something or somebody, it's the Holy Spirit telling you that this you've got some silver on that glass so that you're seeing a reflection of you instead of repenting. Amen? All right, number three. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. And that's again, the same spirit of slumber, and this is the same calling good evil and evil good that Isaiah talked about. That's talked about in Romans. This is, other, you know, if you keep on, you know, okay, I'm a Christian or I'm this or I'm that, and you continue walking so that you're using the gospel now as an instrument to improve your life, then you're just building more and more silver on the glass so that you don't see him at all. You see only how it affects you. All right, back to Romans. Verse 8, according as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear unto this day. And David saith, let their table be made a snare, and a trap, and a stumbling block, and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened that they may not see, and bow down their back always. So it's God that keeps pushing you and pushing you and pushing you into more and more rebellion, really. He's pushing you to come to a place where you see the emptiness of rebellion, where you see the futility of it. But if you sit back and silently and don't live it and live all of your life as in the reality of this, what I just read something about some stupid thing now, there's a different world made in the computer now, in the internet, where you make your own little beings or avatars and stuff. Well, that's just a revelation of what you've done your whole life. You've created these phony worlds Tom's giggling because he knows what I'm going to say. Tom was absolutely hooked on Dungeons and Dragons. He couldn't get rid of it until I asked him to put Jesus in the game. And every time he put Jesus in the game, Jesus was the first one to die.
And I'm here 10 years later.
He's still doing. Now he's playing in this other world, probably. Do you understand how all it's doing is it's revealing what's going on in us? Instead of living in the now, we create realities that are lies. And then we think we're rewarded for it or something. What now? What are you laughing about?
I'm just amazed that it took you all these years to come up with this. I can't remember what it's called, but I'm aware of the concept because people actually, it's a secondary market now and selling things that are used in that world for real money. It's amazing. I would have nothing to do with it, but it's still amazing.
I don't know what he just said.
Second life.
The second life thing. There's people who have a market now in creating items and then selling them for real money instead of just being part of it.
So we have usury upon usury in an imaginary world.
Yeah, people are spending their real money in order to play. Yeah. In order to
corporations buy advertising. It's like put something in this game, have it incorporated into the game. So people who are playing the game will, like, when they're doing whatever they're doing, here's a Budweiser sign or something.
Oh, where will it end?
Hey, we gotta get us one.
It's like another, yeah.
Get us one of them doomsday machines.
Doomsday machines.
What's he doing now?
He's making reference to a popular culture back in the early 60s.
Gets all excited about destroying the world.
I think you're out of the country during that time.
30, 50 million tops.
Please take it, big guy.
Actually, you have to read Ecclesiastes and Job and watch Dr. Strangelove at least once a year. Get your proper balance of reality.
And buy stock in whatever that thing is, the imaginary universe.